Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're doing something a little different, a unique mission, you could say.
I'm intrigued.
We're going to do a deep dive into what might just be the shortest source material we have ever analyzed.
Okay.
We're not talking about pages of research or, these complex government reports. We are analyzing a single critical status update. It's drawn from a document titled Review of Settlements' Effect on Residential Transactions.
So this is the ultimate exercise in linguistic forensics.
Exactly.
Because when the information is that concentrated, I mean, every single word is a nugget of knowledge. Our job here is to take this one sentence and just pull out everything it implies.
For anyone following the housing market, this is critical.
It is.
Okay, so here's the line. The entire status update is this.
Yeah.
Settlements' effects on residential transaction volumes under review. That's it.
And it's so important.
I think so. Because if you're trying to stay ahead of the curve in real estate, knowing the status of an investigation like this is, well, it's arguably more important right now than knowing some preliminary finding that might just get overturned later.
Absolutely. It tells you where the official focus is.
And maybe more importantly, where the definitive answers are not. Not yet, anyway.
Right. And that phrase under review, that's our whole starting point, the gravity of it. It's not a conclusion, it's an active state. It places the whole investigation on a very specific point on the timeline.
A point of uncertainty.
A point of active uncertainty. It tells the entire market that this critical relationship, how the settlement is actually influencing sales volume, is not settled science.
Okay, so let's unpack that status first. When a major document states that the effects of a huge market intervention are still under review, what does that really tell us about the current state of knowledge?
Well, it tells us two key things immediately. First, the investigation is active and it's formalized. This isn't just, some casual data gathering.
Right.
It's a structured process. They have methodologies. But second, and this is crucial for you listening, the uncertainty is complex enough to require this kind of prolonged scrutiny.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, if the effect had been immediate and just overwhelmingly obvious, let's say transaction volumes, instantly cratered by 30% nationwide.
We'd already know.
The review might already be finished. They'd have a conclusion.
That is a fascinating point.
Mm.
So the very fact that it's still under review could suggest that the results are what, nuanced? Or maybe inconsistent across different regions?
Precisely. It could be all of those things, which makes that causal link really difficult to isolate. The uncertainty isn't just random, it's structured. We have to assume that the analysts are dealing with some real ambiguity in the data.
So any market assertions you might hear today, any big claims that the settlement has definitively caused X or Y outcome?
They are, by this official definition, premature. You are now equipped with the perfect counterargument. The body responsible for actually investigating this relationship says they haven't finished their work yet.
That really does put our listeners on the cutting edge, just by knowing the timeline of that uncertainty. So if we know the investigation is active, let's look at the actual structure of the research question itself.
Okay.
Settlements' effects on residential transaction volumes. It's three distinct elements being linked together. Let's start with the end result, the dependent variable. Residential transaction volumes.
Right. This is where we have to get really specific about the data. The focus on volumes signals that the review is purely quantitative.
Numbers.
It's about frequency and scale. But volumes itself isn't one single measurement. When analysts look at transaction volumes, they have to decide if they're measuring, say, unit sales, the raw number of houses sold, or dollar volume.
The total monetary value of all those sales.
Exactly.
And those two metrics can tell completely different stories, can't they? I mean, a settlement might decrease the number of homes sold, but if the few that do sell are all high-end properties,
your dollar volume might stay stable. It could even go up.
Huh.
So a rigorous review has to clarify which volume metric is the real focus. And even more critically, how they're adjusting that data. Are they using seasonally adjusted rates? Is this just raw monthly data?
Because real estate is so cyclical.
It's incredibly cyclical. The success of the whole analysis depends on filtering out the noise of normal seasonality before you can attribute any change to the settlement. And that complexity is very likely a big part of the under review status.
So the deep dive into volumes shows us the challenge isn't just counting the transactions. it's counting them correctly in a way that lets you make a meaningful comparison.
A comparison with the pre-settlement era? Absolutely. And there's more. They also need to define what even is a residential transaction. Does that include new construction?
Yeah.
Or just existing home sales?
Multifamily units versus single-family homes.
Right. The precision required is just immense.
Okay, so let's shift to the other side of the equation. The driver of this potential change, the independent variable. Settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know the exact nature of this particular settlement from this document, but just based on the context, what can we deduce about its character?
Well, the term settlement itself strongly implies a discrete, formalized change. It's not a slow evolution. It's an intervention.
Something with a start date.
A very clear start date. It's most likely a legal agreement, a regulatory mandate, or some major industry policy shift. Something concrete that initiated a structural change in how transactions are done.
And if it's a discrete event, that should, at least in theory, make the analyst's job a little easier.
It does give them that clear start date, which is absolutely essential for doing any kind of time series analysis. But the nature of the settlement is what determines the mechanism of impact.
How so?
Well, think about it. If the settlement focused on, say, seller behavior, the effect on volumes might be pretty immediate. But if it focused on something like buyer financing requirements, the effect could be delayed by several months.
Because of the long lead times in the closing process?
Exactly. So the review isn't just about watching sales numbers after that date. They have to model the market's response based on the regulatory or even the legal lag time that's associated with whatever changes the settlement introduced.
So there's a difference between a temporary hiccup and a real long-term change.
An essential one. If the settlement mandated a change in disclosures, for instance, the market's adjustment period, the time it takes for everyone to adapt, could artificially suppress volumes at first, only for them to recover later.
So the review has to separate that, the temporary market friction,
yeah,
from the genuine long-term impact on volume.
Yes. That brings us right to the link between these two massive concepts. The effect. Analyzing the effect is really about wrestling with that classic problem of causation versus correlation.
Right.
This is the toughest analytical hurdle. It's almost certainly the main reason the status is still under review. The review is trying to answer, did the settlement cause a change in volumes? And to prove causation in economics, you have to try and construct the counterfactual.
The counterfactual. The impossible scenario of what would have happened if the settlement never occurred.
Exactly. The analysts have to model what transaction volumes would have been without this intervention and then compare that projection to what actually happened post-settlement.
But the real estate market is never static. There's always something else going on.
Always. During the same period, you also have movements in interest rates, changes in housing inventory, regional migration patterns, you know, broader consumer sentiment about a recession.
So if volumes drop by 10% after the settlement, the review team has to mathematically subtract the portion of the drop caused by rising interest rates, then subtract the part caused by low inventory and whatever's left over.
That is the isolated effect of the settlement, and that is the core challenge. If they can't statistically isolate the settlement's influence, if they can't confidently rule out all those other confounding variables, they cannot declare a definitive effect.
And this scientific rigor is what separates a real official review from just, you know, market chatter and speculation.
It's everything. The under review status is an open acknowledgement of this methodological complexity.
So let's talk about the final step then. How does the organization doing this review decide if the effect is actually significant enough to even report a conclusion?
They're looking for two things: statistical significance and economic materiality.
Okay, break those down.
Statistical significance just means the change they observed is very unlikely to be due to random chance. Economic materiality means the change is actually big enough to matter to policymakers or people in the industry.
So you could have a statistically provable effect that's just too small to care about in the real world.
Precisely. If the settlement caused a drop in volumes that is statistically provable, but it only affected, say, 0.01% of transactions, it might not be considered a material effect that warrants any kind of policy response.
So they're balancing the statistical purity with the actual real-world impact.
It's a key part of the synthesis, yes. The entire exercise is designed to provide actionable insight, not just satisfy academic curiosity.
Which brings us back to the source document itself. The whole thing is called a review. Why structure this as a review and not, say, an impact study or an initial assessment? What's in the name?
That's a great question. A review often carries this implication of scope and formality. An initial assessment sounds quick, preliminary, but a review suggests a mandate to synthesize existing data, evaluate methodologies used by others, and provide a comprehensive, really definitive report on the landscape.
So it's a heavier term.
Much heavier. It implies a high degree of transparency in its process, even if the finding for now is, well, inconclusive.
And that ties directly back to our opening status, doesn't it? The overall document is a review, but the key finding within that review is still under review.
They reinforce each other perfectly. The document, just by existing and stating its status, fulfills its role as a transparency mechanism.
It tells you, we're on the job, we're focused on these specific variables, and here's where we stand today.
Exactly. It manages expectations for everyone by confirming the investigation is ongoing and structured.
This whole distillation process has been, I think, incredibly valuable. For you, the listener, the ultimate takeaway here is really structural.
Mm-hmm.
This very specific, very high-profile question, the link between the settlement and transaction volumes. It's not only unresolved, but the complexity of isolating that link is what's driving this whole long structured inquiry.
That's it. You now know the precise analytical battleground. The next update will be all about whether the analysts managed to conquer those confounding variables and isolate the true effect on volumes. That is the critical knowledge you get from this one sentence.
It's a powerful perspective. That knowledge is really about knowing the current frontier of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
But based purely on the language of the document, which only targets residential transaction volume,
right,
we have to wonder about the scope. Since this settlement must be impacting how the market works, what other critical metrics, not even mentioned here, might be tangentially affected? Mm. What are the ripple effects?
That is a really important question for any future analysis. If the settlement is changing the nuts and bolts of how transactions happen, it's not just the count of sales that's going to change.
So we should be looking for other signals.
We should anticipate ripple effects on metrics like time on market, or the average size of earnest money deposits, or maybe most notably, pricing volatility.
Interesting. So if the pool of buyers or sellers actually changes because of the settlement, even if the total volume stays the same, the negotiation leverage shifts.
And that directly impacts price discovery and volatility. It suggests this very focused review on volumes is really just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the overall market impact.
So what's the next logical step?
Well, while this specific review focuses on quantity, the next logical step in any investigation would be quality and price. We should really watch for data that suggests a shift in the duration of the transaction process itself, as that often reflects deep changes in regulatory compliance or financing difficulty.
Something for all of us to mull over, at least until that final report finally moves past under review. Until next time.
Until next time.